I'm Eric Chemmy, and this is Politely Pushy. Sri, thanks for joining me on the podcast. You're doing amazing work at Rocket Lane. Customer onboarding, you're working on so many different industries. And thank you especially for joining me from India. It's late for you. It's early for me. You're all over the world. So I appreciate you spending time with me today, Sri. It's nice to chat with you.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me on.
So customer onboarding, help explain someone who maybe they don't think about this on a daily basis, right? Because most people, they're employees. They're not necessarily making these kinds of decisions to bring a company like you on. When you say customer onboarding, do you mean a customer, like a B2B customer, a B2C customer? Walk me through the ecosystem here of who's buying Rocket Lane and for what customer they're trying to onboard.
So Rocket Lane essentially is helping run customer-facing projects better, right? And typically, this means B2B customers, where let's take the example of a SaaS company, a technology company that's offering a solution to another company. The customer decided to buy from the vendor, but things don't end at the purchase, right? That's when the journey actually begins. And it usually takes maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months to set up that customer for success with your product. And that's where this whole dance of the customer journey, customer onboarding journey happens, right? So you're sort of saying, hey, we have this playbook of how we're going to get you to value. All these steps need to be followed. You need to do some things. We need to do some things. And that's when we know that we can make you successful with our product. So that's the customer onboarding that we're talking about here.
And right now, what are you seeing macroeconomic-wise? Are you seeing a little bit of a pullback that we're seeing in the media headlines? Are you seeing still a strength of, customers out there? Are you still seeing demand for products? Are you seeing companies right now saying, we want to hold back expense right now? We're nervous about what 2023 looks like.
There were a couple of months where there was some pullback because there's overall, I would say, budget freezes, which don't discriminate between product A and product B, right? But then once companies, including ourselves, figured out that, hey, this is about having a conversation with the CFO, making a case, or helping our champions have that conversation and make that case, then I think the, story has turned around. Truly onboarding remains as important, if not more important than before, because every customer you bring in, you want to make sure that you get them to value. You want to make them a referenceable, happy customer. And today in a climate where number of those customers is going to be limited, I guess it's even more important that you make sure you're turning those fewer customers that are coming in into advocates for your brand, for your solution. And that's where we are able to help.
And when you look at your competitor set right now, who are the companies that you're most concerned about? Is it inaction by customers just to not do anything? Or is there a certain couple of big companies that you're saying, these are the guys that we need to displace? These are the people we need to knock out, make sure we have better product than them.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate to be in a space where it's easy for us to differentiate and show value versus the status quo. The status quo is usually, yes, in smaller companies, it's nothing or spreadsheets that companies are using, and they know that they need to put something in place. Otherwise, they don't look mature in front of the customers. They aren't able to hold customers accountable to take that journey with them. So lots of problems there. And when we go to larger customers, mid-market or enterprise, people are using regular project management tools. And well, those tools actually do a good job, but we're able to show companies how a purpose-built tool can be 5x better or 10x better, depending on which product they're using today. And that really helps, right? So I think, we for larger customers end up displacing regular project management tools, which have been out there for a long time. I think the differentiation comes through easily in a demo.
This is your second time around as a company founder. What lessons did you learn from the first run that, maybe mistakes that you don't want to repeat again or regrets that you had? What are you doing differently now compared to the first time?
We're very contrasting journey compared to our first journey. In this one, we are backed by some big VCs. Last time, we were bootstrapped for most part of our journey. But on the execution front, a few things that we have done differently. I think last time we thought we'll build a great product and people will find us, people will talk about us, and traction will be sort of automatic. But this time we really focused on marketing what we built as well. Like, we've always had a good product DNA on the team. This time, I think we've also done justice to the product by putting in the right amount of energy behind taking our product to market, telling our story well, ensuring that we're pitching value to customers. They're understanding how to make a case internally for our product. Like, they may love it from a demo, but how do they make sure that they can take it to their management and convince folks to spend money on buying our tool? So a lot of learning. I think also our approach to sales has been not just understanding whether someone will buy or not, but one of active problem solving with the customer to figure out how to help them see the value, how to help them, go through that journey with us quickly through the evaluation instead of us waiting on them. How do we be proactive in that sales journey as well? And lastly, I would say one thing we did very differently this time is we didn't launch an MVP or minimum viable product. We sort of launched a full featured product at get-go. So again, one more thing we did very differently.
Why? What was the reason for that? Right? Because that's a big decision a lot of companies go through is do we do the minimum viable product, figure it out as we go, get some traction? You decided to be more patient at this time. Why were you able to do that?
Yeah, I think firstly, we have an advantage of having built multiple SaaS products before, and that meant we sort of knew what a roadmap would be for the solution. Even if we were to launch something early, where will people take us? And we had this vision for an all-in-one unified solution, right? We weren't trying to build one more product that an implementation team or onboarding team would use. We wanted to be this one-stop solution for them, right? And that's where we felt, hey, if you're going to build all these pieces, then we don't want to go piecemeal to the customer and say, hey, now use like the project collaboration piece. Next month we will be launching, or next quarter we'll be launching a document collaboration piece as well, etc. Instead, we said, hey, our first version of the product should already live up to that vision we have for it. And we can de-risk building it by, taking mocks and early prototypes to customers and showing them, validating our thesis. But let's not launch one piece at a time because, A, it's harder to help the customer see that full vision of where we are going. And B, once you launch something, a customer is going to focus on iterations we give them on that front, right? So they will want more and more depth on the thing that we launched rather than the breadth that we wanted to show them they can accomplish with Rocket Lane.
In between Rocket Lane, your previous company, it was acquired by Freshdesk, now known as Freshworks. So you were there for a while after the acquisition. And I assume that's where you were percolating new ideas, right? I'm assuming that's where you're thinking about what's my next move going to be. You came up with the idea for Rocket Lane there. Tell us about that experience. How did that in between time, going from founder back to, acquired employee back to founder, what did you learn in that middle phase that has helped you this time around?
Freshworks is almost like a SaaS school for us.
Yeah.
Spent 4.5 years there. It's the first company, SaaS company from India to have listed on the NASDAQ. So quite a generational company that has been built. We learned the go-to-market motions, how, inside sales teams can be super productive and give you great leverage to sell to SMB. And that being a strength, that being a business model innovation of sorts, is something we learned there as well. And for us, really going in, it didn't feel like we've become like employees in a much larger corporate. Freshworks itself was still a startup when we went there, right? A larger startup than what we were, definitely. They were, around, I think, 300 sorry, maybe 350, 400 people when we went, and we were a 10-member team. But still, we were running our own product. We had enough freedom to do things our way. And having that freedom and a hefty mandate with good support from the ARG was just what we needed at that time.
How much do you have a leg up because your product is about customers? How much do you have a leg up working with your own customers, right? Because you, that's all you're thinking about, right? It's a little bit of a meta question, right? You're so focused thinking about customers that do you have a leg up when you're making your sales, when you're dealing with your Rocket Lane customers, because the product itself is about customers, if that makes sense. You see where I'm going with this question.
I think dog fooding is like something that is super important for at least for our team. We prefer that we build things that we will use and learn from our own usage as well. And that way, I think, for every customer that we bring on, even if it's like a small 5-member team, we onboard them using Rocket Lane. So it helps us figure out ways to make our product scale better for small teams. It helps us understand different kinds of customers because with each of them, we are helping them set up their onboarding journey in Rocket Lane. We are learning from those experiences. We have a community for people in this onboarding and implementation function. Our team also learns there, but it's for everyone to learn and share. So it's been fantastic to use our own tool. Incidentally, our tech team, marketing team, everyone uses Rocket Lane, not just. We don't use it just for customer onboarding. For all of projects, we use Rocket Lane, and that way, again, we have a lot of feedback coming in from the team, and of course, the engineers, if they experience a problem, using our own product, we're gonna go in and fix that.
Sri, you hear the words customer experience, customer success. They're used a lot nowadays, especially the last couple of years. Some companies even have a chief customer experience officer, chief customer success officer. You think about this every day. What do those words mean to you, right? When you hear customer experience, customer success, what does that mean to you?
Right. I think, my mind automatically goes to like the org chart and what these teams typically I've known to be responsible for. I think customer experience is pretty broad, sometimes falls under marketing, sometimes is includes customer support and surveying and touch points of all kinds. To me, customer experience is really about, every touch point that someone experiences with your brand. Right from even before someone becomes a customer, right? Even a prospect engaging with your brand, how do they experience working with you, dealing with your brand? So, from a sales cycle to contracting to if we just closed, what happens now to if a, onboarding a customer, of course, but even beyond, how are you helping them get to value? What happens if the customer is stuck somewhere or confused or reaches out to you, needs your support, help? What happens during renewal? Everything is part of customer experience, right? And even the way you deliver, let's say, learning for the customer to get value from your solution, the way you talk to them about new features you're launching to them, all of that is part of customer experience. Versus customer success, this is more about how are you helping the customer get to value? How are you helping them realize the potential of your solution? How are you helping them with adoption? How are you helping them with getting set up the right way? How are you helping them utilize all of the capabilities that you've built? How are you understanding their goals and aligning what they need to do in your product with them reaching their goals? That's what customer success is all about.
You've got a few big verticals that you focus on. I mean, you're in a lot of areas, but there's a few that I know that you spend a lot of time thinking about. One of them, supply chain. What are you seeing right there? Because we've heard so many stories about the supply chain's a mess ever since COVID, labor shortages, material shortages, transportation bottlenecks. Supply chain is a problem and a real one. What's your perspective on it? What are companies doing right? What are they doing wrong? How are you helping them get through this?
Yeah, it is one of the big verticals that we've seen a lot of adoption for our solution from. It's not like we went after that, though. It's so happened that we see a lot of traction there. And I believe this is because, supply chain is an area where there is a lot of digital investment still happening, right? Because you do want to move away from more manual work. Digital transformation projects are happening all the time in enterprise. COVID accelerated that, as we all know. And even beyond that now, I think companies have realized the potential of choosing to use more digital solutions for various problems around supply chain, logistics, et cetera. And so they are buying more software, and we are working with those software vendors to ensure that their software gets implemented in a timely manner, because this space is notorious for very long drawn projects, multiple stakeholders across different teams on the customer side needing to be involved. Integrations could be really messy, right? Lots of systems that you need to integrate with. All of it makes it pretty complex, and that's where I think we're able to streamline things, showcase the journey the right way, give the right visibility to partners, internal teams, customers, to ensure that project execution is on track.
Another area you're focused on is conversational AI, and that's been a hot topic these last couple of weeks. ChatGPT, OpenAI, all of that. That's not the same as what businesses are using, right? That's a lot of media buzz. What's the reality? What's the business use case for conversational AI? How are you involved in that? And, when they're doing customer onboarding, this could go wrong really quickly, right? If this doesn't work well, you can have some real problems and very public-facing problems. So talk about your experience there.
Right. So I think teams that are building conversational AI have been seeing some good tailwinds over the last few years, right? It has been a hot topic, as you said. I think ChatGPT will help sort of all of these companies leapfrog in terms of the kind of solutions they're able to offer. But at the same time, the crux of this is, again, it comes down to providing a familiar experience for customers, which, chat definitely is. And for various kinds of use cases, right? Customer trying to reach out to a brand to get some work done, to tackle a problem. And people don't want to throw more people at the problem and say, hey, human agents are going to respond to everything. You want to deflect most of those conversations, handle it automatically, but you want to do it in a medium that is familiar and friendly for a customer. That's where I think these chatbots and conversational AI have been winning. And this doesn't apply just to external customers, but even for like internal IT teams, which want to work with their employees and offer solutions or offer help. That's also moving to chat-based conversations and conversation AI kicking in, right? So that's where we've seen a lot of traction happen. And setting up these systems is not easy. Again, there is training needed. There is ML and AI coming into the picture. There is configurations of the right flows, picking what needs to be implemented first. And so there are teams, entire parts of teams that work with the customer to set up these chatbots the right way. And these projects, when you need to collaborate between the vendor, the chatbot vendor and their customer, they need to be on track for the customer to build confidence that, hey, this is the vendor I want to continue working with and innovate on further. And that's where I think RocketLane helps build that confidence in the execution for the partnership.
What about fintech, right? We're seeing so many stories now about Wells Fargo had to pay a big fine because of bad practices, right? Like that was a failure of technology and processes. We're seeing FTX, another failure of humans and technology and processes. So fintech is a real risky area. You're doing a lot in that space. What's your perspective there?
Luckily for us, I would say our involvement in the area is more to help the fintech company sort of implement their software the right way, not really in delivering a fintech solution, right? Rather in project management, managing that delivery. And Definitely, I think again, multiple stakeholders, data that needs to be set up the right way for these tools to deliver value, integration with multiple systems, developers being involved, and we all know developers prefer to do things their way at their pace. So what we are able to see as helping in these scenarios is really create a professional experience around getting the customer to that endpoint where they want to go, right? So you know what their goals are. You're going to set up the right plan for them and help them see the full picture, saying, hey, here's how you can get to value in 6 weeks with our product. And here's what you need to do to get there. So set them on that right path, set them on a path based on the pace they want to go at. And hold people accountable from there, right? Hey, developer, you said you will do this integration by next week. Are you able to deliver it? If not, there's going to be an email that goes out automatically to everyone involved saying, here's what's happening. So hold people accountable, get to value on time.
Where are we going to see you in Rocket Lane a year from now? Where, like, how much growth are you expecting? What do you see the world, the macro world, the micro world, when we're sitting down at the end of 2023? What's the space, just the general customer onboarding space and the Rocket Lane role within there?
Right. I think this is still a new space. It's a new category. It's growing fast. I believe it will continue to grow fast in 2023 because we're still at a small base, right? There's only upwards movement from here possible. And so we are bullish about the category. We are doing the first ever conference, which we did this year. The second event of Propel happens in 2023. The first one happened in 2022. And this is the first ever conference for folks in customer onboarding, implementation, et cetera. We are seeing a lot more, teams getting formalized behind this function. So this function itself is breaking out in different companies. They're separating it from customer success into its own thing, evolving it into a professional services organization within the company very often. So that's exciting as well for us. And what we really want to focus on is how do we, in a year from now, start looking like the default option for any company that wants to execute on cross-company projects, right? Onboarding is one kind of customer-facing project, but we want to go beyond that as well. If you're a marketing agency that wants to work with a customer, Rocket Lane's for you as well, right? If you're a consulting company, Rocket Lane's for you as well. Anyone who wants to run an initiative or a project with a different organization, we want to be the default for that.
And online, you've got a maturity model. Walk us through the insights that offers. So can anybody use it? What's the benefit here? And tell people how they can explore it.
Yeah, so if you just go to maturitymodel.rocketlane.com, there's like this quiz that you can take. And what we're really trying to understand is where are you on the maturity curve with respect to delivering on your customer onboarding projects, right? So think about it. There's various dimensions where you could be doing well or not so well with respect to customer-facing project delivery. And we've really tried to use this quiz as a mechanism to open people's eyes to where they're doing well and where they're not. Because very often we don't even know what are those different dimensions. We start improving on one front, and that's what we know, and we keep trying to make more adjustments on that same dimension, while reality is everything has its sort of, effort versus reward ratio, right? If you are doing really badly on a dimension, of course, making an improvement there is going to help you see big rewards for that. But if you're already doing great, if you're at a 5 on 10, or let's say if you're on an 8 on 10, getting to 10 on 10 might not help you all that much. And that's why we are introducing these dimensions, saying, hey, value delivery, value orientation. How much is your process focused on delivering value to the customer? Next, what's the experience that you're delivering through that project? So customer experience is something we want to help you focus on as well. Then there is this whole aspect of are you set up to adapt to the customer's changing needs? And is your organization mature, right? So you have people who are, focused only on this problem. Do you have methodologies that are adaptive in nature, which adjust to the customer's maturity today? And lastly, are you measuring things, right? Are you looking at metrics, or are you just doing the work? Because only when you measure, you know where you're doing well, where you're not, and you're able to improve. And how is your automation posture, right? So are you doing a lot of automation, or is there a lot of manual work happening today? Those are some dimensions that we identified and said, hey, let's start evaluating where you stand on these few dimensions that we're going to open your eyes to.
Srini, this has been really great conversation. I appreciate the time today. Thank you for walking me through your experience and what Rocket Lane has to offer.
Thank you so much for having me on, Eric.
Thank you to my guest, and thanks for listening. Subscribe to get the latest episodes each week, and we'll see you next time.